keep walking along each day, and I failed along my way. From all the pain and the trouble here below, but then one day he set me free, opened my eyes so I could see. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe.
Better down the road. So he moves on and we move on. That first place, that place of Gilgal, is a picture of our salvation. Getting nothing better than that. But there comes a time when we're to grow and develop and mature and move forward. I hope 2023 will be a good year of growth for every one of us, including this preacher. But there's a second place. Notice with me in verse number 3. Of course, the last part of verse number 2 said they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. So Elisha understood that Elijah is getting ready to be taken away. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. Where's here? That is Bethel. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Elisha had an opportunity to stay at Gilgal, that place of new beginnings. He said, Man, I ain't staying here. But then he had an opportunity to stay at Bethel, but he didn't stay there. What's Bethel? What's so important about that? You go back in your Bible to the book of Genesis, and I'm not going to turn over there tonight. I encourage you to go back and read it. Genesis chapter number 28, about verse number 10, down about verse number 22, that's where Jacob, one of the patriarchs, we understood that's where he got that, he had that dream. Remember that ladder that came down and the angels were ascending and descending, and that promise that was given to Abraham, Jacob understood that, man, that same promise was extended to him because he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he understood that, and he caught a glimpse. He caught a glimpse that God wanted to use him and use his life. Elisha said, you know what? Bethel, that place of dreams, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move on. Did you know there's some of you in here tonight? You know you're saved. You done moved on. You're trying to mature. You're trying to grow and all that. Then you get to Bethel, a place of dreams, and you see, and God may deal with your heart, and God says, hey, I want you to do something, a specific task in your life. This is what I want you to do. Not your brother, not your sister, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, but you, little old you, something small, something insignificant, something maybe even broken. God says, hey, I want to use you. And you get a glimpse of it, but it never comes to fruition. A lot of folks, how many lives have been squandered? God saves an individual. God tells them exactly, there's no mistake about it, of a certain task that he wants you to do. But for whatever the reason, you talk yourself out of it. And you end up in the place of dreams. You never move any forward. You never bring it to fruition. That was Jacob. Jacob had seen that dream, and he realized that God wanted to use him. But again, a lot of folks never take the next step and make those dreams a reality. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon that we run, that we pace ourselves. Again, you get in at Gilgal, that place of new beginning. You get saved. God wants to use your life. He wants to use me, and he wants to use you again. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. God's got a place for every one of us. But we see here, Elisha said, I ain't staying in Gilgal, that place of new beginnings. I ain't staying in Bethel, that place of dreams. I'm going to move on. God's got something better. Well, notice this third place that he went to is called Jericho. Look at verse number 5. The Bible said this. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. He had an opportunity to stay at Jericho. You study your Bible in Joshua chapter number 6. It's interesting that God, the first victory that the children of Israel had when they went into the promised land was in a place called Jericho. God didn't say, All right, fellas, I want you to go get the sharpest sword. Go get the biggest, the horse team, the chariots that you can find. Go get the longest spear, the heaviest shields that you got. He didn't say that at all. He said, Take those trumpets. He said, For 7 days. He said, First time, I want you to circle around the city. Second time, do it again. Third time, do it again. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Then on the seventh day, I want you to circle around it 7 times. Then the priest blew with the trumpets. And you understand the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God was there with them. And the walls fell down. We see that unfolding. That was their first victory as they went into the Canaan land. And God had given them that great, great victory. But understand, Jericho is a good place. It's a place of victory. But there were some other victory. Ai was on the horizon. There were other battles that they needed to face. And they ain't nothing like those past victories. But you can't stay back yonder. Let me just say this and I'll move on. 2022 was a wonderful year. We had 44 new folks that yoked up to the church by membership here at Faith Community Baptist Church. I say to God be the glory. I witnessed a miracle right here when Grady Hutchins sometime in January was right here on the second verse. She's getting ready to say, we're getting ready to close that service out. I looked down and said, man, can I help me? He said, I got to get saved. I'm going to tell you, that is a victory that you don't ever want to overlook. But can I just tell you, the same God that did what he did in 2022 can do even greater things in 2023. Thank God for past victories, but you can't stay there. 2022's gone. We're looking forward and we're rejoicing over what God did. But it's a new year, and the same God that was working in 2022 wants to work now. You know, I think about history, and there's a lot of churches that have shriveled up and have died because they held on to history. Oh, God used to do this, and God used to. Well, God ain't changed. God used to do this, and God used to do that. Did you know that a history of a church should never serve as an anchor that holds you and prevents you from moving forward for the glory of God? Amen. We just came through 50, we're working on 51 years here at the ministry. Thank God for the previous 51 years. But understand the history of the church shouldn't serve as an anchor that prevents you from moving forward and winning men, women, boys, and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The history of the church should serve as a rudder that guides us into this new era in which we're living with all the technology, all the things we got at our disposal. Thank God for the ministry that we've got and what we're doing, but you can't stay in past victories. You know, there's a lot of churches, and I hate to say this, but it's true. They serve as a monument of what God used to do. There's even more churches that serve as a mausoleum, dead as a stick. I don't want to be like that. I don't want you to be like that. I mean, I want to keep pushing forward for the glory of God, expecting greater things in this upcoming year. But we'll never get there if you don't move beyond Gilgal. If you don't move beyond Bethel, that place of dreams, but it never comes to fruition. If you don't ever move beyond Jericho and you just want to focus back, well, God did this and God did that in 2022. And we're going to rejoice about it. But this is a new year, man. Got to move on. There's better things past Gilgal. Gilgal's a good place. Bethel's a good place. Jericho's a good place. But there's victories on the other side. Now we get to Jordan. Here we are at Jordan. Notice here in the Word of God in verse number 7. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. They too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. So they're gone over the Jordan River. This Jordan River, that was a miracle in and of itself. He took that mantle, which was a cloth, And you'll see earlier on that he threw that mantle on Elisha, which was signaling a transfer of the prophetic office. I believe that's found in chapter number 1. And you'll see that unfolding as you look here they are at Jordan, a place of barriers, a place of obstacles. That's what the Jordan River was, by the way. It was a barrier. It was a restriction. Passing them from that past life to the spiritual life over in the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan River. Elijah said, hey, you can stay here if you want to. You can stay in Gilgal. Elisha said, I'm going on. You can stay in Bethel. He said, I'm going on. He said, you can stay over there in Jericho. Elisha said, no, I'm going on. And when they crossed over Jordan, something interesting happened. Watch this in verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah never asked the question until they got on the other side, Brother Brandon. And Elisha never answered the question, what he wanted, till he got on the other side. But I'm convinced of this, Brother Robert, that Elisha would have never been asked. Elisha would have never been able to answer it had he stayed in Gilgal, had he stayed in Bethel, had he stayed in Jericho. But once he got over Jordan, that place that represents obstacles, I want to flip back for just a moment to Joshua chapter number 3, because I want you to hear this text, and I'm about done, but get this. The Bible said this was the crossing of the Jordan River when the children of Israel went over. The Bible said in Joshua 3 and verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Now watch this in verse 3 of Joshua 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. The people had a responsibility to remove from their place. If they wanted to get beyond the Jordan River, they had to remove from the place that they were. If you want to get to where the blessed, application now to you and I, if you want to get to where God wants you to be, you're going to have to remove from your place. That Jordan River served as a barricade, as an obstacle, a place of where we would even call it our comfort zone. Man, I ain't comfort going across that obstacle. That obstacle's there. It's in my way. It's intimidating. I don't think I can cross it. We'll never be what God wants us to be till we move beyond Jordan. Don't stay in that place because of that obstacle. Don't stay there because of that intimidation, man, because there's blessings on the other side. But sometimes we won't move because it's out of our comfort zone. God may ask you to do something this year He's never asked you before to do something. He may ask you to stop doing some things that you've been doing in 2023. Elisha prayed for a double portion. Double portion of what? That spirit of faith. That spirit of obedience unto the Lord. That spirit of courage. That's what I want in 2023. That's what I want you to have in 2023. We've got a lot of things on the horizon, man. I could lay out. I could sit here and talk for 30 minutes. I don't want to bore you to death with that. We've got a lot of things on the horizon. We've got just like this new app that they've got that's wonderful, a new tool that we can have here in our church family. We've got opportunities to minister, to try to win people, not only missions here at home, but missions abroad. We've got great opportunities like we've never had before to spread the gospel throughout this world. We're going to continue to press on. We've got ladies' meetings. We've got young women's meetings. We've got men's meetings moving into this year. We're going to have something special for our widows this year, more so than we have in the past. Maybe some of our senior saints. There's some great things on the horizon, but our main focus is going to stay the same. We're going to preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing I want to challenge you with, there'll be other things coming down the pipeline, but here it is. Everybody listen well. If you're a part of Faith Community Baptist Church, or you're even contemplating being a part of Faith Community Baptist Church, I want to challenge you to do this in this upcoming year. I believe in setting goals, and we've often said that, and I say this, and this is part of the premise, everything that I try to do, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. You got to have preparation along the way. You got to set your goals high. If you set them high, you're going to hit high. If you set them down here in the gutter and say, well, we're just going to sputter through another year, I don't want to be like that. Man, this is going to be a great year, brother. That's what I believe. I believe God's going to do greater things than we've ever even seen, Brother Harold. I believe God's able. Where'd Brother Harold go? Where's he at? Oh, you out of place. You removed out of your place tonight, did you? He's always over here. We look around, God's going to do great things. But it's going to be up to us. Did you know in every church, and this applies here too, did you know that you and I can be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution? Do you know that? Every one of us. We can be part of the problem, we can be part of the solution. Well, you know, I wish this area was better. Well, are you doing your part? Well, I wish this thing was better. Well, are you doing your part? You see, you can be part of the problem, you can be part of the solution. A lot of folks like to tell you how bad it is, but they never want to lift a finger to help. God may ask you to do that in 2023. But here's what I want to challenge you with every one of us, every one of our homes this year. I challenge, including myself, every individual in here, every individual home, I want to challenge you to go after five families this year. Five families. That's not overbearing, is it, Brother Evan? That's not over the top. Go after five families that's unchurched. Listen, I'm not interested in pulling folks out of the churches unless they're dead as a fair mausoleum. Sure. If they're not preaching the gospel, absolutely go after them. But every one of us in here, I believe all of us probably could name more than five families, but we won't have to look far to see five families that are unchurched. Did you know you might be the very one that can reach them? But I wonder how many would say, well, I'm going to let somebody else do that. Well, see, you can be part of the problem. But if you want to be part of the solution, something very, very simple. Listen, I believe in the ministry of multiplication. God has called us that are saved to go out and win somebody else. We've had a lot of addition in the last year with folks. But listen, these new additions, that's more people that you can reach. If you can reach 10 families, to God be the glory. But focus maybe on your street where you live. Four or five, you say, well, I don't know five families. We just count back from you pull out of your driveway, count the next. There's five homes. So don't tell me you can't find five. Hope you can find 10. But listen, let me just ask this, and I want an audible answer. How many of you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Amen. Amen. How many of you believe Jesus could come back at any moment? Amen. Amen. Well, that's an opportunity that you and I have in the coming days and in this year to be challenged. But you know what? You look at that and you say, man, that's a barrier. That's a restriction. That's preacher, that's out of my comfort zone. Well, I can tell you this, there's blessings on the other side. But you're going to have to remove out of your place. The people in God's day in Joshua chapter number 3, they'd have never seen the blessings of the Lord had they not removed out of their place. Elisha would have never even been asked, hey, what can I give for you? And Elisha asked for the double portion. And we see in the Word of God 9 recorded miracles of Elijah. We see in the Bible 18 recorded miracles of Elisha. He got what he asked for, that spirit of faith, that spirit of obedience, that spirit of courage. The same thing is extended to you and I tonight. But I'd ask you this as Sister Savannah comes. Where are you at? Where are you at? Now that's between you and the Lord. I didn't come tonight. Don't you think just because I'm preaching this and that I have arrived? I mean, I strive to be what God wants me to be. But I'm a work in progress, just like every one of us are. A work in progress. And some of you, if you're listening tonight, you've never been saved, you're in that wilderness. Well, if you die in that condition, you're going to die in your sin. You're going to go to a place called hell, and there's no excuse for you to go there because Jesus died for you. He paid your sin penalty, and all you got to do is receive Him. For whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to get saved. Then once you get saved, there's your Gilgal, place of new beginnings. But don't stay there. There's growth. There's maturity. Get in your Bible in 2023. Get on your knees in 2023. You say, well, preacher, I really ain't never done that. Hey, it'd be a good time to commit unto the Lord. But don't stay in that Gilgal because there's blessings on the other side. Don't stay at Bethel, that place of dreams. You say, preacher, I believe, you know, God dealt with my heart 2 or 3 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever God wanted me to do something. You've never seen those dreams come to fruition, never seen them come to reality. Why? Maybe it's a lack of faith. Maybe you thought, man, what can I possibly do? Some of you thinking, man, I'm too old. Some of you thinking, I'm too young. No, God wants to use all of us. But again, you're going to be part of the problem. You're going to be part of the solution. Many of you want to stay in Jericho. You look back 2022 was a wonderful year. Some of you may look back even previously. And thank God for the heritage. But don't stay in the past victories. God that won those victories back then is the same God now. But then you get to the Jordan, man, that intimidating river. that obstacle. Man, I'm going to have to step out of my comfort zone to get on the other side. But God said, hey, there's blessings on the other side. God may ask you to do some things that you've never been accustomed to doing. Would you be willing to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ? You might be the very one that makes a difference for that neighbor. One of those five people that I challenge you to go after. Five families in this upcoming, every one of us to go after five families this coming year. Well, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. But some of us are going to have to step out of our comfort zone. How many of you want that spirit, that double portion of his spirit as we stand all over the house? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Elisha said, Lord, man, I want that spirit of faith. I want that spirit of obedience. I want that spirit of courage. It'll be up to you. I can't make that decision for you. You can't make that decision for me. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to see you die in your sin. I don't want to see you die and go to hell, but that's where you're headed. Apart from Christ, it might be a good night to get in. If you're stuck in Gilgal, not growing, if you're stuck in those dreams, if you're stuck in those past victories, if you're stuck because of obstacles, boy, tonight be a good night. Do business with the Lord as we enter into this new year. As we pray, Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Lord, I've done my very best, Lord, to deliver the message of the hour. God, help me in my personal life to be all, not just part, but all that you'd have me to be. Help me with that spirit of faith, that spirit of obedience, that spirit of courage. God, today and in the days to come, Lord, we know that we'll be just like Elijah one day. You're going to draw the curtain. We're going to depart. Help us to be what you want us to be. Help those that, Lord, are going to have to step out of their comfort zone in the coming days and coming weeks and coming year. If you tarry, you're coming. Lord, a great work's going on here and a greater work is on the horizon. And Father, I thank you for all you've done. But God, would you deal with hearts, the young and the old. Help us to gel together. I thank you, God, for the unity that we do have. God, help us to gel together with one mind, main purpose in mind, to see folks saved. And God, only you can do that. Move during this invitation time. We'll give you thanks. Give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed now.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.